Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today he'll bring part 7 of a message on the holiness of God. The text is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16.
I would ask you please to open your Bibles to 1 Peter, again, chapter 3. We're not quite through with all of this. It's been going on forever. World without end. Amen. There's so much here that I want yet to say about all of this that the Lord has laid on my heart. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It dawns on me that this is a requirement. You know what so many professing Christians want today? Perhaps what many in this room want today? We want a Christianity without obligation. We want no suffering for the name of Christ. We want a Christian eternity with Christ. We want heaven and not hell. But we want a Christianity in this world with no obligations, a Christianity that will allow us to live our lives pretty much as we would had we not professed Christ. And there are plenty of churches that are accommodating people with that desire. Churches that allow the flesh to flourish while professing Christian doctrine. The world's full of churches like that today. It's kind of a new phenomenon of the last 20 years. It's part of the end times, I believe. Allowing a profession of right doctrine without an application of that doctrine to the life that has any transformational influence upon the life. But you cannot read the Bible and come away with the conclusion that that is real Christianity. It's pseudo-Christianity at best. And what we have in this passage of Scripture is a reminder that if we make the Holy One of Heaven holy in our hearts, it will have a transformational influence upon us. Verse 16, the last part of the verse, speaks of those who falsely accuse you of your good manner of life in Christ. A different manner of life as a result of being in Christ, of having sanctified in your heart the Holy One of Heaven. It's an act of the will, if we do this, that will make us something other than idolaters. Because we will have in our heart as our God and our Lord, the one who reveals himself in the Word as the Holy One. And if you have any other kind of a Jesus that you say you worship, he is not the Jesus of the Bible. He is not real. He doesn't live. And you worship an idol. A Jesus that you have made according to what you would like Jesus to be. And we know what the Bible thinks, what God tells us He thinks in the Bible about idolatry. Let me bring this to where we live. A few of you have made inquiry as to whether during this break, whether it's like Christmas when school is not in session between semesters, or like the summer when school is not in session. If I go to a movie theater during this break, will I be dealt with as if I went to a movie theater during the school year? The answer is yes, you will. But you've asked the wrong question. And that's what troubles me. You can probably go to the movie theater during this break and we'll never know the difference, and that's not the issue. You can probably watch 3 or 4 R-rated movies every day. You're at home if you want to, and we'll probably never know the difference. You can listen to your CDs, to your rock music, all you want to. We'll probably never know the difference, but you will know the difference. It will have an influence upon your spirit and upon your heart that you and Christ will know about. There will be a wall constructed between you and Christ. If that's what you wish, then go to it. We cannot stop you, and that our knowing about it is not the issue. You've asked the wrong question. Will the school allow it? The question is, will the Holy One allow it? And I would simply say to you and to me, anything that the Holy Christ of heaven approves of is just fine for our life, and anything else is not fine for our life. It's not an issue of whether the church puts its imprimatur upon it or the university does. That's not the issue. You're asking the wrong question. Anything I can do to the glory of Christ is fine. It's legitimate. And He's the one that I will answer to for those standards that I have in my life. What standards are you putting in your life and why? Is it to please a parent? Is it to please a church? Is it to please a college? If so, it's for the wrong reason. And you'll go through your life trying to adapt your life to please whoever you're with at the moment in whatever circumstance you find yourself. You can't live life that way. There's no consistency in that kind of a life. Anything that the Holy One who made me and redeemed me would not be offended if I do, it's perfectly fine for me to do. But you see, if you haven't sanctified the Lord God in your heart, you'll never know. If you make your heart a holy refuge for the Holy Christ of heaven, then you have a governing influence in your life that is eternal. And He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Society changes, but He doesn't change. Movies, rock music, sex outside of marriage, whatever the issues may be. The issue is, does your God permit that? Is it acceptable to your God? If so, fine. The only way we know what is acceptable to the Holy One of heaven is what He has told us is acceptable to Him in His Word. That's our governing influence. The Holy One of heaven is glorified by holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, we're living in a kind of a gutter sort of world that accepts just about anything, any kind of conduct, attitudes, lifestyle. It's just fine. But you don't answer to society. Ultimately, you don't answer to this school. Yes, you're under the governing influence of this school as a student, but those are props, if you will, to help those of you that desire to sanctify the Lord God in your heart to do so with some support, if you will. But you won't always have that support. And that's not the issue. Those are guidelines. Those are helps. But the only thing that's going to really accomplish for you any kind of Christian consistency is the sanctification of the Holy God of heaven in your heart. Because He is my God and He is the Holy One. Therefore, my life will be thus and so. It's a dirty world. Getting more openly dirty all the time. People don't even try to conceal the filth of a sinful heart anymore. Last week, read in the papers about the Monday Night Football introduction showing a naked woman leaping into the arms of a football player in the locker room before he goes out to play ball. One of the faculty members told me last week that she was watching television and a Hardee's ad came on. Maybe you've seen it. I haven't seen it. Some nearly nude woman in a bar riding one of these bull riding barrels, eating a hamburger, using sex to sell hamburgers. She said it was a very offensive ad. I sent an email to Hardee's in California and said, I didn't see the ad, but a friend of mine who did, highly offended that you are assaulting the mind of her husband and her son in such a way, and other sons and husbands all over this country. I said, you know, unless you apologize for that ad and take it off, I'm through with Hardee's. I have no use for this sort of thing. What are we capable of doing if we refuse to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts? Think with me just briefly about this. Not be able to get through it, but a few things. The Bible says this is a requirement. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Make the Holy One of Heaven holy in your hearts, in the innermost being of your life. Place the Lord God of Heaven that you claim as your Savior, as He presents Himself to be in His Word, make Him that kind of a God in your heart. If we refuse to do that, what are we capable of? Well, the Jews failed to do that. And Peter, in his sermon in Acts chapter 3, was reminding the Jewish public that he was preaching to in that sermon of that very matter. He said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." What are we capable of if we do not sanctify the Holy One in our hearts, the Holy One of God in our hearts? We're capable of hating Christ. Indeed, is that not what someone does who says, "I want a Jesus who is a Jesus other than the Holy One," and says, "I want a Jesus in my life who will allow me to live in the most fleshly manner that I lived before I got saved, while still entertaining some hope of heaven when it's all over?" Do you not hate the Christ who is the Holy One when you make another Christ in your heart and say, "He's my God"? If we don't sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, we're capable of treating Him very badly. Furthermore, we're capable of being like the demons when we do this. In Mark 1:24, the Lord was preaching and a demon-possessed man stepped out of the crowd. And the demon spoke through him and said to Christ, Mark 1:24, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." The demons know who He is. The Holy One of God. And they fear Him. Doctrinally, demons believe correctly about Jesus. They believe a whole lot more doctrinally accurately about Him than all the liberal preachers of the world put together who denies deity. The demons don't deny His deity, but they don't sanctify Him as the Holy One in their hearts. They have no reverence for Him. They have no desire for His rule. They hate Him, but they know who He is. What are you and I capable of if we refuse to sanctify the Lord God in our heart? We're capable of being just like the demons in our attitude toward Jesus. I don't know what that does for you, but that terrifies me. And we all have that capability. And not only do we have the capability, if we do not sanctify Him and put another kind of Jesus as the Jesus we call our Lord, who allows us to have our way and do our thing and be just as sinful and openly indulgent in sin as we want to be, we have put Him on the outside, even as the demons do, because they refused to sanctify Him with a heart submission in their hearts. Doctrinally, they knew. But in practice, and in reverence, and in submission, they knew nothing of the Holy One. They wanted nothing to do with this Jesus, the Holy One. We're capable of something else. We're capable of blasphemy. In Isaiah 37:23, Isaiah the prophet said to Sennacherib, to his emissaries, when they knocked on the door of Israel and said, "We are going to destroy you like we destroyed all the other peoples and nations before you. We ran right over their gods and we're going to run over your God Jehovah too." And they said terrible things about God. And Isaiah said, "Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? Against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel." Have you said blasphemous things about God? Have you, in the practice of your life while professing the knowledge of the Holy One, the Holy God of heaven, lived your life in a manner that blasphemes His holiness, that makes a mockery of God's holiness? Possible. And indeed, it's inevitable if we refuse to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Sometimes it's not with deliberation. Sometimes it's by carelessness. The truth is, and we've said this in this whole series of messages about sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts, none of us does this the way we should every day, every moment. But it must be the desire of the heart. It must be the intent of the heart. In moments where we are careless and we don't guard our heart and we say things we shouldn't say, I don't mean taking the name of God in vain. If that's the kind of heart, if you use the name of God in a light and frivolous and blasphemous way, that's a clear indication that there is no holy God that you are sanctifying in your hearts. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I'm saying if that's the practice of your life, I seriously doubt that you're saved. Because a God you love and revere, you will not offhandedly and repetitively and without thinking blaspheme His name. And if in a moment of anger or in some kind of a moment of terrible weakness you blaspheme your name, His name, you'd be so smitten of heart, so broken in spirit, that you'd fall on your face and say, "Oh dear God, forgive me. You're my holy God and my Savior. Forgive me for blaspheming You." We're also capable of moral defilement if we will not sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. You know these verses well, but listen to them as though they were for the first time. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." 1 Corinthians 6. "Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot. God forbid. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? It's an exclamation. What? The Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We said way back early on, I'm sure you don't even remember it, but there are certain things that are holy things because the Holy One of Heaven claims ownership of those things. The church is the Lord's. The earth and heaven are the Lord's. He's the creator of marriage. He's the owner, the author of marriage. He's the one to determine the definition of marriage and how it's to be lived successfully for the good and benefit and happiness of the marriage partners. The Bible is full of instruction about that. The silver and the gold are mine, he says. Anything that God claims ownership of is holy. That's why we call it holy matrimony. The church is supposed to be holy. The church doesn't exist to make the culture happy. The church exists to make the Lord of the church happy. And the Bible is full of instruction about what the church is supposed to be. And there are a lot of churches today that are nowhere close to that because they want to make the culture happy. And they want to make people who are in love with the culture and sit in those pews happy. The body is the Lord's. He's bought it with His own blood. So I would submit to us, there's only one way to be successful in the Christian life. It's to take very seriously the requirement that we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. It's the only way not to be an idolater. The Lord God describes Himself as the Holy One. And we make our hearts a sanctuary, a place for Him to abide in. And therefore the life becomes permeated with the desire to please the Holy One and to live in a manner that is befitting of the resident, the Holy One, who inhabits us in the presence of His Holy Spirit when we're redeemed people. And so I would say to you as you leave for these few days of cuts, there's only one person you have to please while you're gone. There's only one person you answer to. It's the Holy One that you say is your Savior. And your success in pleasing Him depends upon the degree to which you have determined that by His grace you will make the Holy One holy to you. Your God, your holy God. The Holy One in you. The one you seek to glorify in whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. It's all under the regulation of the Holy One that we're supposed to be bringing pleasure to because He alone is worthy. Let's pray together. Father, search our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in us, any unsacred ambition, any unholy plans. Lord, how many professing believers today claim a Jesus who is other than the Holy One that you have said you are. And with that kind of a Jesus, they can excuse just anything they want to excuse and still call themselves Christians. So, dear Lord, let none of us be like that. Let your word permeate our hearts and ringing our ears. For we want to please you and you alone. And if we have any other desire, Lord, rebuke us.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.